Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts, the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, and if you want to advertise with us or have questions you want us to answer on the show, make sure you email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken, with me as always, Cody Westerlund. Cody, we're about a week into training camp, and there really is not a lot going on with the Bulls.
This is what happens when you have a young team that's rebuilding. There's no drama. There's not even like arguments over who's going to start at X or Y position. Even though there are four open competitions for the Bulls, Fred Hoiberg has said Robin Lopez will start at center, and the other four spots are still being decided. Like, I don't think anyone's feelings get hurt because they're all like 20 and 21. You know what I mean? Like, they know it's going to be a long journey. They know there's a lot of work to put in. They know there's a lot of opportunity, whether it's now or later in the season by way of starting. Like, there was a couple training camps ago where, like, they had Pau Gasol and stuff, and it's like, you got questions. Pau, are you going to be upset if you start but you don't finish a game? And then Pau would be like, yeah, I'm going to be upset if I don't finish games. That's why I came to Chicago, and I'm a champion, you know, stuff like that. You don't get that with these Bulls. So it's like more about the progress of the players on a day-to-day basis.
Right, and, you know, the same kind of thing last summer with, Taj Gibson versus Nico Mirotic for that starting power forward spot. Where that was a little bit of drama. This time it's just like, okay, these guys are young. They're rebuilding. We know they're not going to be that good. I will tell you, there was one piece of drama this week at camp.
Let's hear it.
Because I've been going to practice every day.
Let's hear it.
So, yesterday, one of the reporters was asking Fred Hoiberg about David Nwaba, who's a player that they picked up off waivers from the Lakers over the summer.
Yes.
And this reporter referred to him as a point guard. And Fred cut him off and said, he's not a point guard. And he said, and then the reporter said, well, he's listed as that on the sheet. And so Fred calls over Kristen, one of the PR people for the Bulls, and says, Kristen, that's a typo. You need to change that.
So he's a shooting guard?
I don't know what he is, but
he can't shoot.
Fred Hoiberg feels very strongly that David Nwaba is a point guard, is not a point guard, and they messed that up on the sheet. That concludes your Bulls training camp drama.
No! Whoa. This means Cameron Payne's been elevated from number 4 point guard to number 3 if David Nwaba's not a point guard.
But Cameron Payne isn't gonna play until like January, so.
I'm just saying though, that has long lasting ramifications for the Bulls. Point guard is actually a spot where we expect Chris Dunn to start for the Bulls. When they open the preseason on Tuesday night at the Pelicans, the Bulls will have a back-to-back Tuesday at the Pelicans, Wednesday in Dallas against the Mavericks, I believe. So Dunn should start this year. I don't know that he'll start every week in preseason or every game. They have 6 preseason games because Hoiberg has basically indicated that he'll mix up the lineups quite a bit. And I believe he did that last year a bit too. Even when they had some more players seriously set in stone with starting positions, obviously.
Well,
with Dwayne Wade, Jimmy era.
Well, last year it was a little bit different because you had those veterans. Like, Dwayne Wade isn't going to be playing in preseason games because he has no reason to be playing in preseason games. But Hoiberg did say yesterday at practice that he's kind of going to use the preseason to play with different lineup combinations, try different guys at different spots, see what works, see what doesn't work. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the veterans, you know, Robin Lopez, like, if he can maybe gets a couple days off just because they want to give Felicio a longer look, they want to give Portis a look at the five, maybe.
What do you say about Nwaba? Because, like, just casually talking to Fred, like, at Media Day and stuff, and even the week before, like, he was bringing up David Nwaba on his own right. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't, like, who's been the best in camp, he's just saying David Nwaba's looked good, and he could have chosen, like, 14, 15 guys, you know? What'd he say on the record about him? And I'd imagine he'd get plenty of preseason minutes. I mean, they have a lot of young guys, so I don't know how exactly they'll split those up. But that's a guy who you want to get a look at, because you haven't had a look at him previous, really. What'd he say?
I mean, the biggest thing that the Bulls like about him, I think, is his intensity on the defensive end. He's a guy who's just going to go after you, you know, really hound you on that end. That's kind of what they see his role being. off the bench. Fred did say that he will have him run the offense a little bit, but he's not point guard.
Well, again, he can't shoot, so if he's not going to play point guard, I don't know what he's going to do on offense. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see about that. I think one of the biggest storylines, though, is Fred Hoiberg taking Chris Dunn under his wing when it comes to being a shot coach this year. The Bulls, I don't believe they employ a shooting coach, to my knowledge, who's called a shooting coach.
No, their shooting coach is the head coach.
Some organizations do. They did add Sean Respert as director of player personnel.
Player development.
Player development, excuse me, correct on that. That's an important distinction there, because they do need to develop a lot. So that's a guy who will have a lot of hands-on work with these young guys and be what the Bulls hope to be, a respected voice. But when it comes to fixing shots, Fred's that guy in the Bulls organization. And look, he did it with Dwayne Wade a little bit a year ago. And when I say a little bit, I mean he worked with Dwayne Wade a lot, and you saw a little bit of progress in Dwayne Wade even in his later years as a player, shooting 31% from three-point range, which is still bad and still inefficient, but better than Dwayne Wade used to be. So Fred was saying that Chris Dunn basically, he shot 28%, 29% from three-point range as a rookie in Minnesota. Just shy of 38% from the field total, which is just pretty abysmal.
It's not good.
And it can't happen that way if you're going to be a starting point guard in the NBA when it's time for your team to win. He will have every opportunity to play through mistakes this year, Chris Dunn will. And he has the right attitude. So the Bulls have said time and again, you know, you have to put the effort in to play at this point because we're not judging you by wins. We get that. Chris Dunn's a guy I don't think there will ever be a problem with that. Look, there's young guys before. I mean, even Nico's one who says that, like, he gets too down on himself mentally. You can see guys like Denzel Valentine, Bobby Portis working hard off the court, but on the court they make some mistakes and aren't always there when they were young. I don't know that the effort was always 100% there on both teams in the past when it just felt like it was the Jimmy and Dwayne show last year. This year these guys will be judged every night on that. So Chris Dunn will have that chance, but that shot is something that has to turn, has to twist. And Fred said, like, his first instinct is, like, jump backward on his shots, basically, and it's like a two-step process with his feet, which is basically the opposite of Fred shooting his entire NBA career.
No, right, he's, like, Fred's been working with him on the mechanics and just kind of the fundamentals and trying to get that kind of, if Chris Dunn is never a great shooter, you want him to at least be passable where opposing defenses aren't just completely ignoring him.
Yeah, and look, the Bulls want to play at some point we've mentioned this briefly, but a lineup with five shooters.
Yeah.
The problem is they don't have a point guard who can shoot at this point. Have not proved that. Jaren Grant proved that he can make wide open three-pointers when Jimmy Butler draws double teams. I don't know if that will be the case when he has to create off the bounce or there aren't people drawing as much attention. One guy that could draw a bunch of attention, or the Bulls hope he can draw attention, when we look at playmaking abilities, look, Chris Dunn last year wasn't a good enough playmaker. He said that. We all know that. A guy who does have the potential is Denzel Valentine. His progress is everything, every single young player's progress is important, but I'm looking at Dunn and Valentine this year being the most important, probably because they're second-year guys who didn't prove enough in the first year, and I feel like if you have two bad years to start your NBA career, that's a major red flag that maybe you are who you are. You know, like, doesn't mean your career's done, but by the time we saw Doug McDermott finish his second season, nothing really changed in his third season, and that's why the Bulls felt like they could trade him. You know what I mean? Like, they realized he's probably just a spot-up shooter. It didn't change by the end of 2 years. Maybe it doesn't change moving forward. And Denzel's a guy who can play make for others, draw some attention, pass the ball well. How's his attitude progress?
I mean, he's a guy, I think he knows that he wasn't consistent enough last year to get good minutes. He knows especially that he has to get better on the defensive end. From what we can tell, he's been there all season, or all off season, putting in the work. He wants to get better. We'll see if it pays off.
What are you looking for in Tuesday night's preseason opener? Should we take a guess at a starting lineup?
I'm going to guess.
Yeah, let's guess.
I'm going to guess that they go with Dunn, Holiday, just to have a veteran out there.
Okay.
For the first game. And then Zipser at three. Because that's a guy who just had a pretty solid rookie year when he got minutes. And, you know, I think
Comes with the Sean Hyken seal of approval.
Absolutely.
Yep. Letterhead official and all.
And then we know Lopez is going to start at center. And then the power forward, I'm going to guess they start out with Nico.
Okay.
Especially because, by the way, this is a one little bit of news out of training camp. Lauri Markkanen left practice a couple days ago with back spasms. He didn't practice the last couple of days.
Set out practice Saturday and Sunday.
And Sunday. Yeah. They think it's not serious. They don't know whether he's going to be able to play, but I think we can probably rule out him starting either way. Maybe he'll get a few minutes off the bench, but I think they're going to start with Nico, and then maybe the next game in Dallas they'll go with Portis, but it'll be one or the other.
Yeah, Fred does want to mix it up quite a bit here early in the preseason. I think Denzel Valentine's going to start. I don't know if that's at shooting guard. I don't know if he slides, even to the three a little bit, whatever. If you want to say that, I agree, Chris Dunn will start at point guard. I guess you can slide Justin Holiday to the three, too. I think it'll be Dunn and Valentine in the backcourt, and then either Holiday or Zipser at the three. I don't know which one. Then I'd go Nico and Lopez, too. Like, I think the Bulls need to play Dunn and Denzel together quite a bit, because if you have lineups with Holiday and Paul Zipser, like, you just have no playmaking, really. You know what I mean? And those are guys that have to play off others on the offensive end and not creating off the bounce themselves. So I just think, like, you got to get Denzel. He's going to get more minutes. And remember dating back to last year, like, the day after the season, well, I don't know how many people were happy the day after they lost, but Denzel was enthused when he walked out of player exit meetings, and management told him, you're going to play a lot more next year. We're going to make sure of it, whether Jimmy's here or not. Because obviously that was 2 months before Jimmy was traded, and 2 months before, 3 to 4 months here before Dwayne Wade was bought out as well. He was happy then. Like, I just think the signs since last season ended, starting, 17 hours after they were eliminated, have pointed to Denzel getting more opportunity, I feel like. So, I don't know. I'm looking for that. What else are you looking for in this preseason
game? I mean, I'm interested, I guess, in, whether they mix up kind of the lineups in the front court, whether, whoever starts. Like, I'm interested to see if Bobby Portis plays some five. Interested to see if he plays alongside Felicio. Like, I think once Markkanen is healthy, whether he plays in this preseason game or not, like, he's going to probably play some five alongside Nico if they want to put out an all-shooting lineup. But Portis has been talking during camp about how he's trying to get his three-point range kind of extended. He wants to kind of be in the mix
preseason storyline. When they run out. My life and I'm shooting three-pointers.
Absolutely, no.
Great.
He dropped some numbers on his body fat percentage. He went down to 8.1 from 9.7 is
that's
what
good.
He said. So he's dropped some body fat, so that's good. But I'm interested to see kind of how they do those lineups, if they don't just go Nico and Lopez, or Portis and Lopez, or Portis and Felicio, or, like, they just kind of mix that up a little bit.
You know what I'm most interested to see? In the first post-Jimmy Butler organized Bulls game that isn't Summer League.
Right.
Our first glimpse with this new group under Fred's direction. How fast do the Bulls play? Fred loves to push the pace. They did it at a breakneck speed on a few occasions last year when Rajon Rondo was demoted to the number 2 point guard role. Or you could say promoted to that after he was benched. Last season was weird, man. I don't even know when his promotions and demotions was. I just know he was
a season like that again.
He was just running the show, captaining that ship. And there were some nights where they played at a breakneck pace for 4 or 5 minutes at a time. And this came after, we've still never figured this out, who said it exactly, but Rondo says that someone on the coaching staff said his play looked slow.
And that he needed to be saved from himself.
Yes. An all-time great. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Weird. There is not going to be a single storyline that's as interesting as that this year for the
Bulls. I want to let you know that out of everyone in that Bulls locker room last year, Rajon Rondo is probably the last person that needed to be saved from himself, because he was the most authentic, real person on the team. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason for him to lie at any step of the way. You know what I mean? Like, look, Rondo, that blow up in some of that, I know the Bulls are rebuilding.
The Instagram thing?
Yeah. Like, if you're thinking about Rondo and the only thing that matters in life is, like, cash that next check, it probably would have been in his best interest to not hit post on that Instagram post. But he did it anyway, right? Like, he's a millionaire already. He's a smart guy. has his life figured out, does great work off the court. And all of that points to being him authentic, and that Instagram post backed it up. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a guy who was just out there for a season chasing money from the Bulls. Look, I know he was awful at defense, because, well, he's been awful at defense for 4 years. Like, you knew what you were getting into. But he was probably the most authentic person on that team last year, you know? There was no BS from him. There were no underlying messages. He had something to say. He would tell that person directly. When he had something wrong with how the organization handled the situation, he would say it directly, you know? So, Rajon, that was a tangent. That
you know what?
Save yourself tangent. But I'm just saying, he did not ever need save
himself. Let me bring it back to something that's a little bit more topical.
Okay.
You know what team Rajon Rondo plays for now? New Orleans Pelicans, who the Bulls play on Tuesday.
That's going to be interesting. I'm sure he'll have comments before or after the game from Bulls reporters who are there. So it'll be interesting to see what he says, because I don't think he's talked really at length about his ending with the Bulls, at least this summer, that I'm aware of or that you're aware of. So I'm sure he said a few things here and there maybe in Pelicans training camp so far. But that'll be... his thoughts are always really interesting. So, yeah, off the court, that could be the storyline. What does Rajon think from afar now, you know, 1,000 miles away or whatever? What's he think that it ended and everything? But do the Bulls play fast? I guess that's what we need to get back to here.
They have the personnel for it now.
It was an experience to actually see. After Rondo was called slow by the coaching staff, it's almost like in his head he's like, okay, coaches tell me to push it. And these MFers are thinking that I'm not playing fast. I am going to play faster than anyone has ever seen. Because I got to say, in my 3.5 years, 4 years covering the Bulls, those segments of play when Rondo really got a rocket ship attached to him, you know what I mean, was something to see how quick they were playing. And Hoiberg loved it. So do they do that for long stretches now just normally, or can they actually adhere to how fast Fred Hoiberg wants to play? And look, if they're a top three team in pace in the NBA, I think he'd like that, right?
That's exactly what he loves. Like, that's something he's always stressed to his point guards. Remember his first year, he basically always gave Derrick Rose that challenge to get the ball over the 21 second mark of the shot clock.
He was getting it over at 17.
And it was just not happening. But that's like that. Clearly, that's something that Fred values, and that's something he's going to be pushing. And like we said, it's all young guys, it's all athletic guys. I think they're going to make every effort to do that. I think we are going to see an increase in pace this year.
Because this is Fred's season in some ways, too. You know, like, there's no player that you directly tie this season to. You know, like, this, we all want to see what Zach LaVine is. But, like, you're not going to look back years from now and be like, that first season is Zach LaVine. No, it's going to be like his third or fourth season in Chicago, when he rises up and maybe scores 24 points a game and leads them to second round of the playoffs or something, the first time they're good again. And you'll point at Zach and be like, that's the time. Or, you know, he stagnates and doesn't develop that much, and you'll be like, that's the year right there down the line where we knew it wasn't going to work. He's coming back from injury still. Like, when you look at it from a storyline perspective, like, a lot of this ties back to Fred Hoiberg. Outlasted and survived Jimmy Butler being here. You know, we've talked about how that just doesn't happen, and it's almost unheard of in the NBA. And look, the NBA is in an unprecedented time for coaching as it is. We're over a calendar year without a firing, right?
Not only were no coaches fired during last season, no coaches were fired during the offseason. All 30 coaches who went into opening night last year are going to go into opening night this year with their jobs.
Yeah, which is amazing.
I'm pretty sure that's literally never happened before.
Yeah, but there had been the unprecedented round and rate and pace of firing previous
to that. Right, like half
the
team.
At some point, that had to regress a little bit.
Right.
Every team in the NBA besides the Spurs can't just fire a coach every 3 months. Like, that just doesn't work. So you knew some of that would come, but still, that's something to watch, though, with Fred, because this is his year, his voice. And it starts in training camp, but as it pertains to games, it starts Tuesday night, really. So that's, I think, what I'm going to be looking for. Just first game, what's the pace for the Bulls? And look, I'm sure there'll be other storylines. And here's what I'm rooting for preseason. Like, have the Bulls go 6-0. undefeated Bulls in preseason.
Start the narrative of, hey, are these guys going to be better than people think? And then it just comes crashing back down to earth.
Absolutely.
The...
How about an undefeated preseason? Can we get that to happen?
That's the Tom Thibodeau Memorial undefeated preseason. He was always so excited when they had undefeated preseason. Speaking of which, did you watch the Timberwolves Lakers game last night, the preseason opener?
I didn't.
Opener?
I saw some people tweeting, but I didn't see the opener.
Jimmy looked really good. He only played the first quarter. But, he looked like Jimmy Butler, and then Taj was hitting corner threes.
I saw how many corner threes he hit.
Two. He was 2 for 2.
Was he, like, wide open? Was this by design?
Yeah, no, they were throwing those plays up for him. He was 2 for 2.
I liked it better when Taj would just dart to the rim and throw down a vicious dunk. I guess that's more of the transition, fast break, trail dunk for
right.
Taj, not so much in the 5-on-5 in the half court. But I saw that Tibbs was raving mad. Just raving mad on a few occasions. People were tweeting, and that was getting retweeted.
He never changes. He will never change who he is. The Timberwolves are going to be a lot of fun to watch this year. Towns, I mean, that team is just so... That team is going to be... I think they're like the fifth seed.
Are we in support of Bulls fans adopting the Timberwolves as their other team for these next few years through the rebuild? Like,
We're going to do the Locked on Timberwolves segment on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm saying, Bulls fans should legit just sign up and root for the T-Wolves for the next 3 years, too. And then, look, there's no way these two teams' squads can meet in the NBA Finals for at least, 5 years.
Right.
And I'm going to be honest. 5 years from now, Tibbs will probably, his star will have burned out of Minnesota. Yep. I don't know how many years Tibbs can yell in one spot before it gets old. So,
and then
5 or 6 years. When the Bulls are ready to compete at the highest level to win championships, this could be perfect for Bulls fans. Root for the Wolves when it comes to your night-to-night team to follow that you need to be invested in for wins and losses. Root for the T-Wolves every single night. They'll have a good 5-year run. Tibbs will ride off into the sunset. He'll never ride off into the sunset. But
what is Tibbs going to do?
He'll leave Minneapolis probably 5 or 6 years from now. And then the Michael Porter-led Bulls will be right there in the Eastern Conference Finals at the highest level. We just figured out, did we crack the code?
I think we cracked the code.
We cracked the code of everything the Bulls fans need and want. Any other notes we need to, any housekeeping items?
Quincy Pondexter had a strained left hamstring yesterday in practice. That's the same leg that he's had the 3 knee surgeries on. They don't think that's serious, but that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and as, I think we got a good understanding of this in the Derrick Rose era. It's one thing if you have a sore elbow after you've had knee surgery. It's a different thing to have a sore hamstring.
Right.
You know, not directly exactly related to the knee, but anything in the lower body, those guys are going to be very cognizant of probably when you've had so many knee issues and such. And Quincy Pondexter, again, check out that profile on ESPN and everything, opened up again a little bit more the other day, just about how scary the battle back from a skin infection was after one of those knee surgeries and how he was, bed rest for 6, 8, 10 weeks earlier this year.
It was we knew that he kind of had these knee problems and that's why he hadn't played in a while, but his health stuff was a lot worse than people realized.
I'm glad he opened up about that, too, because that he did, you can kind of see some of the behind-the-scenes value that the Bulls may have for him by way of, here's a guy when... You know, Denzel Valentine or something falls out of the rotation, had 3 bad games, and is down on himself and isn't happy that he played 6 minutes in this game. It's like, here's a guy who went through life a lot tougher than you did, man. You know, respect his voice and vision.
And he's got a positive attitude.
Yeah, and a guy who has a great attitude at this point. So pick yourself up. You'll be fine. Get back out there. And I use Denzel as an example. That could be any of the 14 young Bulls. Are they all young? All of them are basically young.
Robin Lopez isn't young.
He's middle-aged in the NBA. He's still young, but he's middle-aged in the NBA, I think. So I think that takes care of it for this episode of Locked on Bulls. We are going to... We promise that at some point we'll have bull predictions. We're letting those predictions just...
Marinate,
get really bold. Really bold, really hot, really spicy. Again, send your bold predictions to us at Locked on Bulls on Twitter. You can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Follow Sean at Hyken, myself at Cody Westerlin. We've got a Facebook page, too. And most of all, subscribe to the podcast.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play. wherever else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network as well. Whatever your NBA team is, whatever your NFL team is, you know, the NFL season's in full swing, the NBA preseason is just getting started, so whatever you're interested in on those leagues, Locked On Podcast Network has something for you, so keep checking in with Locked On Bulls. We'll be back with you guys soon. Thanks for listening.